I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, I'm looking at the TV. I'm so glad ESPN is back on in our studio. It's been on NBC the last 2 days.
We don't have the ability to change the television in
yes,
our studio.
It's
look, we're kind of a big deal, kind of a big media company. Odyssey is it's got 400 million podcasts, like a couple hundred radio stations, one TV channel on our
the functionality of changing it is in some server room where you and I don't have access to it, nor will we ever get access to it, I would guess.
They don't let us do anything.
No. Back when we were owned by a TV company, we could change the TV channel in our room here in our studio.
It's interesting that you mentioned that. Our former affiliation with CBS back when we used to be CBS Radio.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems when I, for reasons that will soon become clear, I was going back to dig for old Greg Cassell audio.
Oh, yeah.
When Greg Cassell was on Mad Radio in the mornings. We had him for a couple years there. He was on every day. And the Osweiler season was one of them. So I went back to look for some audio of Greg Cassell talking about Brock Osweiler, and all of it's dead.
Erased.
So dead and gone.
Never happened. Yeah.
I wonder, that was on the internet, though, so maybe if we go back into our own archives. This sounds like something I can task Ben with out of the blue.
Hey, Ben. What do you know about the internet?
Get to work on going in back into the archives of 2016.
You don't do enough stuff in there, Ben.
I'm going to need those in 45 seconds.
Ben, you only do seven things in there at once.
Yeah.
Let's add another. The reason I bring that up, and we'll get to Greg Cosell here in a second, the headline on Get Up on ESPN is the budding quarterback controversy in Pittsburgh with Mitchell Trubisky. Go figure.
Yeah,
Mitchell Trubisky's not working out. Ditch Mitch was the headline.
Dude, it was so people try so hard, myself included. You try so hard to talk yourself into your quarterback.
Yes,
because there's only so many. It's like trying to talk yourself into whatever car you had when you were 17, you know? Like, it was just, it was, now this thing, I'll tell you what, for $500, I might as well have gotten a Mustang,
yep.
this Mazda GLC.
Yeah.
Look at this, got a hand crank, sunroof, and everything. It breaks down a lot. That's Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky was, he was, I don't know, I'm guessing a lot of people in Pittsburgh wanted Kenny Pickett immediately anyway and thought they were wasting time.
He had a good camp, probably. I just think it's funny. It's less about Pittsburgh and more the narrative around the league where all these national guys seem to be going to bat for Mitchell Trubisky.
That's
because
true.
He was such a good guy in Buffalo. He threw four passes.
That's true.
He had a real cleansing year in Buffalo. Like, what are you talking about? He didn't play.
Who was else? Mariota had a little bit of that effect in Oakland.
Yes.
With the Raiders.
Yes.
I can't remember whether it was Oakland or Las Vegas. But Mariota would come in for like a series here or there, and he would do things that you knew he was capable of doing.
Yes.
He'd run and he'd throw a couple balls to a wide open guy because the defense went super vanilla because the backup quarterback came in. And people would act like, well, see, he's had time to sit and learn. That's what's happened here.
You know what they have in common? They're both number two overall picks in the draft.
Yeah,
don't tell me where you were drafted doesn't matter. It's an immunity ticket for a job for the next 15 years.
There is always the chance that, okay, the guy's got physical upside, and maybe for whatever reason it didn't work in this coaching staff or this scheme, so we'll give it a fly here. Yeah, it seems like you could. Yeah, Trubisky's not going to be the guy. I think the Steelers just don't want to put Kenny Pickett out there until he's definitely
he's ready.
Ready.
Yeah. No, it could be the Pickett was a little overdrafted in the first round for sure. Speaking of quarterbacks, speaking of young quarterbacks, Davis Mills. People are negative on Davis Mills right now, by and large, early in the season here, and rightfully so.
You and I are negative on Davis Mills.
We are. Davis Mills replace-o meter is very high on this show right now.
The replace-o meter, if you had to end the season today,
that's it,
right? But one, we have no choice but to be patient, and two, yes, realistically, you probably shouldn't make your decision based on, let's say, five quarters of bad football, where there's three quarters where on the whole you'd say that, okay, Davis Mills looked pretty good. You've got five quarters because of the overtime period where you're not happy about Davis Mills at all. Okay, yeah, I guess if I were being a true adult, then I'd wait a little bit before I make my complete and total damnation. But right now it feels like I want to send him to quarterback hell.
I love how this conversation about how you're treating it and I'm treating it. I feel like I'm the more kind of like urgent and stressed out of the two of us about this situation. You're a little more patient than me. This is the exact mirror of the press conference where you were talking me off the ledge about fluctuations in the stock market day to day a couple of weeks ago. You're like, bro, you can't follow your 401k on a daily basis. You're going to go crazy. Stop doing it. But that's what I'm doing here. I'm following Davis Mills snap to snap.
That's what you have to do.
Like the Mills index went down 400 points today.
You sell everything. You'd end up with
right.
End up with Mills though. I mean, the difference is that you bought Mills on the cheap.
I did.
Right?
Yeah,
like you bought him.
That's fair.
It's not like you paid top dollar for Davis Mills, so it's a little bit easier to ride it out. You don't feel like you've blown it and lost everything. He is what he is, and the term I've used with him is it's going to be a slow burn because he doesn't have these skills of a Josh Allen. You watch Josh Allen the other night, and my God, okay, that's not Davis Mills. It's going to have to be anticipation, timing, and accuracy. Right now, the reason it's discouraging so much is that his anticipation and accuracy has been abysmal for the last five quarters.
Yes.
That's the part that whatever his upside is, he's not gonna be able to show like, oh yeah, but look at how fast he is, or look at how strong his arm is. He doesn't have that in him. So he's gotta show that anticipation and timing and accuracy, and he hasn't had it.
That's right. And one of the national experts will say, Greg Cosell, NFL Films, does a lot of film work on guys. Yeah. He was very bullish on Davis Mills coming into this year. We played the audio a month or so ago from Ross Tucker's podcast, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Yeah, and then this was last week, Ross Tucker himself alerted us to this on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. After the Indianapolis game, Greg Cosell was also very high on Mills still.
Davis Mills has sort of been like a pet project of mine. I watched him a lot this summer, and I was kind of very impressed with him. He's your classic quarterback, repetitive mechanics, looks the same throwing the ball pretty much all the time. You know, good arm, can make certain throws that are not that easy. I mean, he can throw the dig ball really, really well against zone, between people, over people. He can drive it. He can throw it with what we call firm touch. So Davis Mills is just a quarterback that I'm looking forward to seeing each and every week. And I think that, you know, obviously Brandon Cooks is a good player. I think Nico Collins can be an ascending player. They've got two good tight ends in O.J. Howard, who was a factor last week, and Brevin Jordan, who's a very athletic. I think this is going to be an intriguing offense to sort of follow throughout the season, Ross. I think Mills has a chance to be a quality NFL quarterback.
Now, we should point out again, and I don't think Greg Cosell would radically change his assessment like maybe a Sean Pendergast would after 1 week. That was before the Denver game this past week.
Yeah.
So we should point that out.
But it was after the Indy game where Davis Mills did not look good in the final stretch
when it mattered,
of that game,
right,
too.
Yeah.
Where I think, and you know, the way Ross had presented that, it was almost like Ross was saying that Cosell thought that Davis Mills had a good game, where I don't think that's necessarily what Cosell was saying. I think Cosell was saying he saw some of those things in that Colts game, but obviously he didn't show it down the stretch. Two things. One, I like the term firm touch. I want Davis Mills to give us the firm touch.
Yeah.
Give us the firm touch this week, every week. Give us the firm touch.
We love a firm touch.
Yes. I love a firm touch. Yeah. Gosh, especially from Davis Mills. Two would be, I think that, and I kind of did, I did a thing on Twitter, at Seth C. Payne. I did some of my vaunted, highly touted video editing last night, Sean.
You're outstanding at it.
I cut up a little highlight reel of Davis Mills from the first game. Almost all of the plays were from the first 2.5 quarters. And
with Cosell's narrative over the top of it.
I did a voiceover of Cosell's narrative, and it kind of, like, without even trying to match up the throws or anything, a lot of the things that he was talking about do show up in those good throws. You know, he's making some tight window throws over the middle into zone coverage. He driving the ball to the sideline is where I'm skeptical with Davis Mills. And that's where the timing and anticipation really matters, because a softly thrown ball to the sideline ends up being a Matt Schaub pick six.
Yes.
We know that all too well here in Houston. But those are the plays that he has made, the good plays he has made. He just needs to do those more consistently. And I think the fact that he's capable of doing it but was so wildly errant on some of those types of throws after the strip sack leads me to hope that it's just psychological at this point. And like normal psychology of a young guy who's like the guy for the first time. Yes, he started games last year, but this is the first year where there's been the pressure on him, the feeling of carrying the offense on his shoulders. And sometimes it takes guys a little while to adjust to that. So I'm willing to be patient, mostly because I have no choice but to be patient.
Yeah. I would say one of the last times the Texans have had a quarterback that they've handed the keys to where everybody's been very split on, even early on in their careers as a Texan, would be Brock Osweiler.
Yeah.
As you pointed out to me before the show, Greg Cosell, if we're looking for, okay, how accurate is Greg Cosell in these things?
Yeah.
With the Texans, he was pretty accurate. He hated Brock Osweiler from the get-go.
Well, in 2012,
yeah.
Leading up to the draft, I saw a bunch of stuff. I saw a tweet from Greg Cosell, and this is about as nasty as Greg Cosell would get on Twitter. He's not like that. He's not kind of a pot stirrer. He says, someone said Osweiler could get into the first round. Absolutely not a first-round quarterback. On tape, he showed he needed functional space to step into throws. Big concern. We had him on every week in 2016. And I could tell from the very beginning that he had a pretty low estimation of what Osweiler's ceiling was going to be. But he was trying to be, you know, he's not trying to kill the guy before he shows what he can do. And by the time that Tom Savage replaced Brock Osweiler, you know, Cosell, like everybody else, had seen that, okay, this is necessary and this is needed. I think he was pretty consistently down on Osweiler or skeptical of Osweiler. In the interest of full transparency, though, he did think that Nathan Peterman perhaps was had a lot of potential.
We all get him wrong from time to time.
Yeah, we all get
Nobody's 100%.
He was intrigued by Nathan Peterman. Nathan Peterman would come in for the Bills and have the worst game by a quarterback ever in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, Nathan Peterman just struck me as a dude who just got scared going into NFL games. Like, everything's way too fast and way too stressful.
And I'm not even exaggerating about that. Like, by certain metrics, I remember people just being astounded at how bad Nathan Peterman was.
Yeah.
It was like for a certain number of passes thrown, nobody ever thrown that many interceptions for that devastating an effect.
It was crazy. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. John McClain joins us at 8 o'clock on the show today, brought to you by hornsolutions.net. Hey, Seth, a quick check-in on our Payne and Pendergast head coach death pool for the NFL. You and I pick four coaches before the season with the idea of one of us trying to get the one that's going to be fired first. And I would say we both have four coaches who are firmly up the odds board right now. There's a few that have presented themselves. The field, you know, field meaning the other 24 that you and I didn't take in this thing, all of a sudden the field is not looking so bad with Frank Reich in Indianapolis right now. Reich's got it. He's second on the odds board right now to be fired first. Now, Matt Rhule is the favorite. Matt Rhule is the favorite, and according to the power rankings, Carolina is the worst team in football right now. And I got Matt Rhule in this draft, so I'm feeling good about that. Your four were Mike McCarthy, who had a big win this weekend, Pete Carroll, and it looks like Seattle is back to where they're supposed to be, Cliff Kingsbury, who fished one out of the fire. Really, Kyler Murray fished that one out of the fire. And then Arthur Smith is 0-2 right now.
Oh, Arthur's but with a plucky finish to that game where
they're competitive.
Theoretically upended the Rams.
Yeah,
I remember the last score seemed like it came when it was already about impossible. Well, I say that, but look at what happened to the Browns. I think that for one with McCarthy is going to benefit from now anything he does is going to look impressive. Any wins that they have,
he's got an excuse.
And, And they've got a hellacious defense. they've got the potential to be a really scary defense now. And so I think Mike McCarthy ends up, if anything, he's probably more of a candidate for coach of the year now. After having been so high on this list.
That is a great take.
If they go 500 while Dak Prescott's gone, and then Prescott comes back and takes them to the playoffs, he'll be coach of the year.
That's tremendous. Yeah. I hadn't even thought about that. Dude went from top three first coach fire to a dark horse coach of the year candidate in 1 week.
As far as Frank Reich now being the second favorite to be the first coach fired.
Yeah.
I don't think he should be that high, if only because remember Jim Irsay and how it went with Pagano, Chuck Pagano. It seemed like 3 years straight that Chuck Pagano was about to be fired, and then they would have a powwow between him and Bill Polian or whoever the GM was at the time, and
Ryan
Grigson would come in. That's right, yeah, Ryan Grigson, and they'd have a kumbaya, and everything would be fine. But eventually, it had to happen. I think Irsay is still in that mode, except now, Chris Ballard and Frank Reich seemingly have a really good relationship.
Yeah.
So I don't think Irsay is going to pull the trigger so early when he let Pagano stick around as long as he did. I guess the one thing that's changed is it seems like Irsay is more publicly agitated about losses this time around.
Yes.
The further they get away from that Super Bowl, he just is getting more and more edgy about it. Like he's
posting videos.
He's
going
to be an old man.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like he's. He doesn't want to end up like a Ralph Wilson or somebody that spends the last 20 years of his life hoping for that mythical Super Bowl victory.
He's posting videos standing on the tarmac at his airport in front of his jet about like apologizing to the fans like weeks and months later after the loss to Jacksonville. My four, I'm feeling good 2 weeks in. Rule is the favorite. They stink. Ron Rivera, they had a horrible loss to Detroit this week. They're 1-1. Robert Saleh was 2 minutes away from probably being much higher up this list. He's 33-1 now. Mike Vrabel, Seth, 0-2. I don't know that he's going to be the first one fired. I didn't even know that he's going to get fired because I think he's done a good job in Tennessee by and large, given what he's had to work with. But it's an uphill climb for Vrabel and the Titans this year, man. We're going to get a lot of despondent Vrabel this year.
Oh, yeah, let's listen to
that. Despondent Vrabel. Here's him after the loss.
Which is play calling. I mean, playing and play calling go hand in hand. You know, there's always going to be some plays out there as a player that you wish you had back. There's always going to be calls as a play caller that you wish you had back. Now is not the time. We've never done it. It's not going to be about one person. We got our asses kicked. Plain and simple. They out-coached us. They outplayed us. And that's the definition of it. And so we're going to get back to work, and we're going to figure out a way to win a football game.
How do you think – how's Vrabel going to handle a season, you think, where they might win 5 or 6 games?
I think he actually will do all right. I mean, if you're not winning, obviously not doing all right. But I think you're talking about like kind of emotionally.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Is he going to melt down? I think what's the expression they use in the military? You eat your own chow or whatever. Whatever you're pushing, you better be all. Yeah, you better be subscribing to it yourself. You know, whatever philosophy or motivational stuff you're throwing out there, you got to be sure that you're living that example. I feel like Vrabel is that guy. So, like, he's tough, but he's also tough on himself. And I think he knows when to be positive and when to be a hard ass. So I don't think he's going to have some kind of a meltdown or anything. I mean, look at what happened last year when they had the most different starting combinations in the history of football,
yeah.
The most guys played, all those different things that were extreme volatility on their roster from week to week. And they ended up doing very well with it. I think that's because he's the real deal as a motivator. So I don't think they struggle with it too much. The biggest issue there would be is if him and John Robinson start blaming each other. If he starts feeling like, wait a second, this is the roster I have. This is the second year in a row now that it's just been a mess. And it's not backstabbing if you think what you're doing is for the good of the team. At some point does he go to ownership and say, like, we gotta switch something out with the GM? It's either him or me.
Man, you know? That would be something. That would be something. We're getting
it's
you ready.
Max Sabin if you do it right in front of him.
That's right. Yeah. I did it right here. You heard me. I think you stink.
Listen, John, I'm about to go tell the owners that you suck. Okay.
Yeah. You want to come with me? So I can point to you. This guy right here, he sucks. We're getting you ready for Texans and Bears. It's Sunday afternoon in Chicago. We're going to be getting you ready throughout the week here. Of course, Sunday, it all gets started at 9 a.m. with Texans Countdown presented by Modelo. Kickoff at noon. Postgame starts right as soon as the clock hits zeros here on Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!